You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with Gareth Topham, John Budden and Rory Delaghi in the studio. Busy afternoon as well with Newbury, Newmarket, Ripon, Market Raisin, Cartmel and Irish Oaks Day at the Curragh. And then in the evening we've got Haydock and Lingfield. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to that action is Andrew Mounds.
Hello, Mark.
Hello, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. Busy Saturday coming up.
Yes, indeed. Plenty to get stuck into.
Yeah.
I'm just glad we're not previewing the super sprint, because that looks typically competitive, to put it mildly.
Yeah. Richard Fahey's just got the 7 in there as well. He's last year's winning trainer.
That's right. He won it with a 28-1 shot last year. Yeah. So not an easy race to find the winner.
No. We do have Sir Anthony McCoy looking at that race for us, though. He's actually looked ahead to 5 races for us on Saturday, including the Irish Oaks. We'll start with Sir Anthony McCoy's thoughts, and then we'll get the thoughts of Andrew Mount on 4 races of his own.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
The 3 o'clock, the Stevenson Stakes, a mile and a quarter listed race at Newbury. Scottish, I think, is the best form here. He was a good third in his reappearance at Sandown behind Time Test and Western Him. He also beat Chillicothe on his last start for Andrew Balding, open air at the back end of last season. Chillicothe has been a little disappointing since then. He finished fourth in his reappearance, which is not bad form. Trip to Paris is definitely one for the future, with maybe this year's Melbourne Cup in mind, but we want one for today and it's Scottish for me. The Hackwood Stakes, a 6-furlong sprint at Newbury. Ibn Malak for Charlie Hills is an interesting runner. He finished fourth at Royal Ascot in the Jersey Stakes over 7 furlongs. I think dropping back a furlong here could see improvement from him. Mr. Lupton of Richard Fahey's was a little disappointing at Newcastle last time. Before that, he won a competitive handicap at York, and he's only a 3-year-old, so he is open to improvement. But the one I really like is a Tin Man. He was a good winner on his seasonal reappearance at Windsor. He was a little disappointing at Royal Ascot. He finished down the field there, held up off a slow pace, never really get into the race. I think the drop in class will see him get back to winning ways here. The 3:50, the mile and a half listed filly and mares race at Newmarket is pretty competitive. Oakley Girl for Stuart Williams has been pretty consistent. She was a good third on the all-weather last time at Newcastle. The slight concern is that she's only ever won on that surface, and that's a little worry for today. Miss Marjorie of Dennis Coakley's has also been very consistent. She was a good third at Haydock last time in a Group 3, but I think the older fillies will have a very tough job to try and give away so much weight to the 3-year-old fillies, and Shall We of Sir Michael Stouts is one that stands out. She was a good winner of her maiden at Salisbury. She ran an even better race next time in the Ribblesdale behind Evensong. I think that weight for age and that allowance is a huge factor, and I think she could win for Sir Michael Stout and Joe Fanning. The Weatherby Super Sprint at Newbury has thrown up some good winners in the past, and this year's renewal looks very competitive and could do so again. Clem Fandango of Keith Dalglish's definitely has the best form to date. She finished third in the Queen Mary at Royal Ascot behind Lady Aurelia. That is definitely the best form we've seen so far. But it's interesting that Richard Fahey, last year's winning trainer, has 7 runners. Tony Hamilton, I'm sure, might have had the choice of a few. He won on Lady in Question last time of Richard's. Paul Hannigan has got the mount today. Tony Hamilton has chosen to ride 6 strings, a colt who finished second on his debut at Newcastle. He was a little slow away that day. I'm sure he'll have learned a lot from the run. There's 25 runners here. There'll be a little bit of hurly-burly, but I think he could improve the experience and he could win for the first time in the Weatherby Super Sprint. The Darley Irish Oaks, the big race of the day at the Curragh, and the 3 fillies that we should concentrate on here ran in the Ribblesdale at Royal Ascot. Evensong won that day. She beat Ajman Princess, and Architecture for Hugo Palmer was a little disappointing that day, having finished previously second in the Epsom Oaks. Maybe the run was a little bit quick back for Architecture, and we might see a better performance here. The same with Ajman Princess. She ran a much better race at Ascot than she had done when previously second at Leicester. But it's a great opportunity for Evensong to follow up her Ribblesdale win and get to win an Irish Classic in the Irish Oaks.
So those are the thoughts of Sir Anthony McCoy then on Saturday's racing. We'll get stuck into it in the studio now with Andrew looking at some of the races at Market Racing. AP didn't touch on those, but we'll get Andrew's thoughts on those. And also the feature race at Newbury and the feature race at the Curragh, of course, the Irish Oaks. So starting at Market Racing, Andrew, in their 2:15, which is the summer handicap hurdle listed race over 2 miles. It's for the three-year-olds and older. Field of 15 here, quite an open race. What's caught your eye in there?
That's right, it looks tricky on the face of it, but 9 of the last 10 winners of this race were aged 5 or 6. The exception was the 7-year-old Australia Day in 2010. And so if you chuck out the 4-year-olds and horses aged 8 or older, you can cut the field down to just 8 from 15, gives it a more manageable look. And if you also want to take out the 3 7-year-olds, you can get it down to just 5 runners. And one of those I quite like is number 6, Cornborough, for Mark Walford. This one's lightly raced over hurdles, only had the 4 runs, 3 wins and a third. The third coming on heavy ground at Kelso, a surface that didn't suit. So he's certainly going the right way and should go well. But I'm going to just pass him over in favour of the top weight Guafa for Paul Webber. This one is another lightly raced hurdler, very progressive. Needed the run on hurdles debut when a 33-1 sixth at Kempton. But since then, his record over hurdles is unseated rider and 3 wins. And the latest win coming in the Grade 3 Swinton Handicap hurdle at Haydock. And he's clearly suited by a big field and a strong pace. And after that Haydock win, his connections were talking about putting him back on the flat and targeting Royal Ascot to take advantage of a good handicap mark of 92 on the level. But the fact that they've decided to swerve Ascot and come to this race is a hint that should be taken. And I think Guaf is going to love the tempo of this race. And I think he can record another win.
Guaf then the selection for Andrew in the 2:15 at Market Racing. We'll stay at Market Racing next for their 2:45. This is the Summer Plate Handicap Chase, a listed race over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. 16 of them in the lineup here, so a decent each way shape to the race. And it's going to be one of those 5-1, 6-1 the field kind of races, isn't it, anyway?
That's so. Right, yeah, it certainly usually is. A bit of a mixed bag as regards previous winners here. We've had winners aged between 6 and 10 in the last 10 years. 9-year-old Brave Spartacus taking it at 12-1 for Keith Reevely last year. There was a couple that interested me here. One of those is Sir Valentino for Tom George, the 7-year-old. He's got a good record on right-handed tracks, 4 wins from 10 starts over fences, including 3 of his last 4. And prepped with a run over hurdles at left-handed Worcester last time, a track that wouldn't have suited. He was a respectable 4th. He's won before when switching from hurdles back to fences. So I think Sir Valentino would go well. But the one I'm going to nail my colours to is Germany Calling for Charlie Longston. This one, on the face of it, looks inconsistent. But when you break down his form by absence from the track, it's clear that he needs a good break between his races. And when he's been off the track for 6 weeks or longer, he's won 4 of his 7 starts since his rules debut when running green, when third in a Worcester bumper. And he also seems to struggle when he's running in grade 1, 2 or 3 company. And if we only look at his fresh runs below that level, he's had 5 runs, 4 wins and a third by a length and a quarter when 12-1 at Utoxeter last time. That Utoxeter race was very competitive, very similar contest to this one. And it was a great effort, running a fast time. And that was 48 days ago, so he's had the required 6-week break. And I think Germany Calling's going to run a good race at what should be an each-way price here.
Germany Calling then, each-way selection for Andrew in the 2:45. Let's move to Newbury next for their 3:35. The big race on their card is the Hackwood Stakes, a Group 3, or one of the big races on their card, a Group 3 over 6 furlongs. 13 in the lineup here, and we'll start with the Tin Man, if we may. Andrew was a decent winner on reappearance at Windsor, but pretty disappointing at Royal Ascot.
Yeah, that's right. He was 100-30 in Twilight Sun's race, a Group 1 of course, but he could only finish 8th of the 9 runners, going down by about 6 lengths. No excuses on account of the track. He's won at Ascot before, and no excuses on account of the ground. You know, he's run well on a slow surface before. I mean, he will prefer the today's quicker going, and you know, has bounced back from below par effort before. You know, last season he was 130, finished 8th of 19 at York in September. Next time out, won by 4.5 lengths at Ascot. So it wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility to see him come back and win this. But I'd rather side with one who's in slightly better form, which is Mr. Lupton for Richard Fahey. Now, this one was very impressive at York 2 runs ago, and beating Dancing Star into second in a huge field of 17 runners. And, of course, Dancing Star came out and won the Heritage Sprint at Newmarket's July meeting last week. And although Mr. Lupton was only 5th at Newcastle last time in the Chip Chase Stakes on the Tapeter surface, there was an excuse that day. That 3-day Newcastle meeting at the end of June threw up a really strong bias to low-drawn runners on the straight track. And the winner was Marquez, was drawn in stall 1, runner-up Pretend was drawn in stall 2, and Mr. Lupton was drawn 9 of 10 once adjusted for the non-runner, and was held up on the outside of the group. The winner and runner-up were prominent throughout, and you know, kept on well. Was the only one to make significant ground from the back of the field, and I think that 5th place should be upgraded. And you look at his 4 runs when ridden by Jamie Spencer. It's 2 wins, a 3rd, and that 5th place. A big field, strong pace suits, and provided they go a decent gallop, hopefully that will be set by Watchable, who was also in that Newcastle race. Then I think Mr. Lupton's going to be in the 3 and will hopefully win.
Mr. Lupton and the selection there at Newbury. And on to the Curragh next then for the 5:45, the big race of the day, the Darley Irish Oaks, a Group 1 over 1.5 miles. It's obviously for the three-year-olds, and we're going to have an odds-on favourite by the looks of things in the shape of Even Song, the chosen filly of Aidan O'Brien's battalion by all counts, and comes in good form, won the Ribblesdale last time.
That's right, was a well-backed favourite that day, starting as 15-8 and won very nicely. But looking at the recent renewals of this race, 6 of the last 7 have gone to Britain or France, and Aidan O'Brien's only won it once with 10-1 shot bracelet 2 years ago, but that was his 3rd string in the race. So he used to dominate this, winning it in 2006, 2007 and in 2008, but in recent years it's a prize that's often gone overseas. And I think I'm going to take the odds-on favourite on with a bigger price one, and that's Mick Shannon's Harlequin. Recent winners of this race, the last 9 in fact, had either won last time out or made the frame in an Oaks, either the French or the English version. And although Harlequin was beaten by around 9 lengths when 3rd in the Oaks at Epsom, that was only her 4th run, and she's clearly progressing. And Mick Shannon's got a good record with his rare runners in Ireland. He's only had 3 this year, 2 of them have won. And over the past 5 years, he's only had 20, a total of 5 winners. And a £10 level stake in all of them would have yielded a profit of over £330. So when he does take them over the Irish Sea, they're worth following. And I think Harlequin each way at around 14-1 will give you a good run for your money.
Harlequin each way then for Andrew there. Just want to get your thoughts on Architecture then, given the stats that you've said there, because she was obviously 2nd in the Oaks, disappointed last time in the Ribblesdale, but if you put a line through that, would she have a chance here?
That's right. Again, Harlequin's a much bigger price, and I'm just getting a little bit disappointed with Architecture now. She's still only had the maiden win from 5 starts, and that, you know, had she come into this on the back of that Epsom effort, I'd have made her my selection, I think, but that Ascot run was just a little bit too disappointing for me, so I'm going to pass her over this time.
Okay, good stuff, Andrew. Let's just have a little bit of a summary then before you go, if you'll just spin us through your selections then for Saturday.
Okay, in the listed summer handicap hurdle, the 215 at Market Raisin, I'm going to go with Top Weight Guafa. Then the summer plate at Market Raisin, the 245. I'm going to go with the Charlie Longston trained Germany Calling. And then we're on to Newbury for the Hackwood Stakes at 3:35. I'm going with Richard Fahey and Jamie Spencer and Mr. Lupton. And then finally, the Irish Oaks at the Curragh. I'm going each way on Harlequin for Mick Shannon.
Superb. Good work, Andrew. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Saturday.
Cheers, Mark. Have a good weekend.
So there you go. The thoughts of Andrew Mount on Saturday's racing then. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm. Gareth Topham, John Budden and Rory Delaghi will be the team in the studio. Busy Saturday as well with Newbury, Newmarket, Ripon, Market Raisin and Cartmel on the domestic front. We've also got racing over in Ireland from the Curragh, Irish Oaks Day there, and Haydock and Lingfield in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.